Morning. I tell you what, I'm in the middle of being pumped up, fired up, and kind of sad I have to go back to school next week. But I am pumped up about what the Lord has given me, and not because I feel like it's, I don't know why. If I get a little emotional about this or excited, please forgive me if you can't handle that. I'm excited. I don't know why. All right, we'll start off with this. How about this? Jesus loves you and God has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Yeah.
All right, Romans. Where does that come from? Romans 8:35. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? So who shall ever separate us from Christ? That means he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. Hope. Man, do we need hope. You can get wrapped up in the stuff that's going on right now and get hopeless. But God says, no. Have hope. And so the title that I think the Lord has me with this right now is No Fear.
Come on,
no fear.
That's right.
What is it?
No fear.
What is it?
No fear.
That's right. No fear. How much fear?
No fear.
How much fear?
No
fear.
None.
Zip, zilch. No fear. Take notes. All right. He has everything under control. Matthew 19:26. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He is not surprised by what's going on in the world, in the United States, or your life.
No, he's
not surprised. 1 John 3:20. God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
Right.
All things. As our Father, he's not up there freaking out, wondering what the heck are those kids doing down there? What else can they break? Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty.
Amen.
God is the Almighty. Everything he does is almighty. Everything that he has is almighty.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He sees what's going on. He sees illegal aliens killing American citizens. But the title of this sermon is what?
No fear.
No fear.
Let's do it this way. Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Ready?
Fear not.
Fear not.
He sees Muslim extremists killing American soldiers on American soil. But we?
Fear not.
Taking notes. That worries me. Pointing up here does not help, all right? Supreme Court trying to usurp Congress by making laws.
Fear not.
An abortion industry running amok, selling baby parts.
Fear not.
What?
Fear not.
Guys, we have to get this in us. Activate. We have to get this in us.
That's right.
Don't be scared. Because why? Because why? Fear not. She's scared. Secret deals with Iran. It will get them a nuclear weapon soon to threaten Israel. What?
Fear not.
Right. America turning its back on Israel. What?
Fear not.
Racial tensions heating up.
Fear not.
Mass murderers in the streets.
Fear not.
In the movie theaters.
Fear not.
Sex slave trafficking.
Fear not.
The church ignoring his word.
Fear not.
We better hear that one, but that's fear of the Lord.
Mike, check your mic.
Check one, two.
Turn it on. I think you turned it off.
Fear not.
Fear not. All right. So I imagine God sees these things and points to his word and says, America, I told you so. You reap what you sow. He sees these things happening. He says, it's what the cause is for what you sow. But wait, there is some good news. Although we can count on the fact that more negative things will happen, we have this promise from God. I'm just letting these papers fly, so they go all over the place. Here you go. You ready? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's our promise.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we
fear not.
Lord, let our ears be open and open our blind eyes to your word, Lord. Good news. Good news seems to be at a premium right now. A lot of bad news out there, overwhelming at times. Coming at us fast and furious. Everything's breaking news. Stand by for breaking news. Can't even have a good thunderstorm without the thing turning into some kind of tornado that's going to reap the earth. I mean,
yeah, come on.
Whatever happened to those nice summer nights where you could just sit there and listen to the nice thunder coming around and the rain gently or even a little bit fiercer? But you can't now. I mean, without trying to wonder if you're going to have a tornado, according to the news. Good news can be found, though, but you have to want to look for it.
Come on.
You know, we've always had bad news around us. It just seems like it's more. But I think one of the reasons, 30 years ago, there were only three local and national news stations reporting it. And they had specific hours of reporting from 5:30 to 6 and 6 to 6:30. So you got all the day's news in the 30-minute brief. It wasn't all day. Now we have more news stations, and every little thing is breaking news. And whenever something does happen, the first 24 hours you get the information. The second 48 hours you get all the reasons behind why what just happened happened. The more negative the news is, the more time news channels and local channels break into our regular programming. So if you watch TV a lot or surf the internet, which most people seem to do nowadays, you're going to get a major dose of breaking news,
which
is always negative. Can you ever see a breaking news thing? Oh, you know, something positive?
No.
Breaking news. Jesus Christ came down today. If you're hearing this message, sorry. Okay, so how does this affect us? Well, there's an old saying in, garbage out. Negative in, negative out. So if you consume 24-hour news, it's mostly negative, you're going to see things in a negative fashion. It's common sense. And fear will develop. But some may ask, why would you want to turn away from this exciting desire to see more breaking news or always giving attention to negative news? Because it's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Jesus warns us in Mark 4:24, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of knowledge that comes back to you, and more will be given to you who hear. Now, this can be good or bad.
Yeah.
So if you put a lot of good stuff in you, the word, then you're going to reap good. You put a lot of negative junk in you, you're going to reap bad. It depends on your receiver. Now, if you look outside, I'm just going to get rid of this. If you look outside your window in your neighborhood, you'll see probably little kids playing, houses, cars. Hopefully it's a nice setting, you know, whatever. But that's not the only thing that's going on out there. There's these waves that you can't see that are filtering or that are bringing in news, breaking news. And your receiver, it depends on what receiver you have, is what you're going to get. So if you have a satellite or a cable or TV antennas, DVD player, stereo, whatever, it depends on what frequency you're tuned into most of the time. So if it's focused on negative news 24/7, what's going to be the benefit other than an adrenaline rush? You know, after a while, you get several doses of this, a sense of hopelessness or oppression comes on you. Bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news. It's almost like there's an oppressive spirit attached to each breaking news event. I have to break from this because it gets me depressed just saying these words, you know. Breaking news, bad news, whatever. Okay, but I know God is for us. And if he is for us, who could be against us? All right. So I am fired up that we have a Savior who has given us the tools to be able to overcome this. And if we don't have to live like the rest of the world. I'm sure some of you know people who are fearful right now. They may not even, you know, they may not even want to go to the movie theaters anymore. They may not want to go to the mall. They may not want to go, you know, different places. Louisville, you know, who wants to go to Louisville? Well, that, you know, before all this negative stuff, a lot of people didn't want to go because they didn't know how to drive over there. But it's a good place. Trust me. The Cardinals are there. And we will not, what? I will not fear. I'm going to get back a little bit, but I'm not fear. All right. So that was a breaking news event. You can't ignore the news. You have to kind of keep up on it. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to know what's going on in your life. But I guess the key to it is limit exposure and look at it all through the right kind of binoculars. Where's my Smith voice? Yeah, there you go. I thought you'd wake up on that one. All right, so regular binoculars, you can see a clear target at a good distance. There's a deer over there, Samuel. Can you see it through those binoculars? Is it real clear? Okay. However, if you look at that deer in the dark through those things, what do you see? What do you see, Samuel? Nothing. Or figures, silhouetted figures. That doesn't do a whole lot of good. There you go. Make those binoculars with night vision and voila. You start seeing things you couldn't see before. So if you equate the negative news as the dark, then you don't look at it through regular binoculars or hopelessness because it will just look dark and hopeless. Okay? If you look at the news in the light of the night vision binoculars or faith, things get a little brighter and faith remains intact.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be hopeless anyway, unless we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Come on.
After all, everything that is happening now has been predicted by God's word. Bottom line, God is not surprised.
Right.
Just like he made a way where there seemed to be no way for our Savior Jesus to show up on the scene and accomplish his mission, God, in his word, has shown us all these things will come about, and he shows us what to do about it. Check it out. Listen to some of these verses as if you were someone with no hope or regular binoculars. You got that side? You got regular binoculars going on right here. In other words, no Jesus. And listen to these verses. Luke 21, verse 10. Then he told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11, there will be mighty and violent earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences or plagues, and there will be signs of terror and great signs from heaven. Verse 12, but previous to all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be led away before kings and governors for my name's sake, And you will be hated by everyone because you bear my name and its sake and for its sake. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And upon the earth there will be distress of nations and bewilderment and perplexity without resources, left wanting, embarrassed in doubt, not knowing which way to turn at the roaring of the tossing of the sea. Verse 26, men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of things that are coming to the on the world, for the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. So if you don't know Jesus, you just got overwhelmed with some very bad news. Because you see this information with hopeless binoculars. Or if you're a Christian and you forgot or didn't know to use your faith binoculars, your hope binoculars, you could get overwhelmed there too. What is it? Man is destroyed for lack of knowledge. So now, listen to the rest of these verses with the night vision binoculars of hope on. Verse 9. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified, for all this must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and all his kingly glory. Verse 28. Now when these things begin to occur, look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Yep. Verse 34, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed. He says what? Take heed to yourselves and be on your guard or what? Fear not. Lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Verse 35, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Verse 36, keep awake then, watch at all times, praying that you may have the full strength and ability to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. That's a lot of words. But you see, if you see it with the binoculars of hope and faith, what a difference. 1 Timothy 6:17, set our hopes on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So that's a lot to think about. And we're going through some pretty extremely dangerous things, ugly things. How should we act? How should we react?
Fear not.
2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What a weapon! We don't have to be anxious about anything. I can go to school and not worry about getting killed, at least by terrorists. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't give up. And don't hide.
Come on.
Don't hide. The Word predicts a group of people will hide when the wrath of God hits. Listen to this. Revelation 6:15 through 17. Then the kings of the earth and their noblemen and their magnates and their military chiefs and the wealthy and the strong and slave or free hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the deep-seated indignation and wrath of the Lamb. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's coming back.
Right.
He's coming back as the king. He's coming back as the judge.
Amen.
And you better be ready. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand before it? Now, even though I put that last verse into the title of Good News, when we are standing in the presence of the Son of Man, not everyone will think that will be good news.
That's right.
Revelation 20:15, and if anyone's name is not found recorded in the book of life, he will be hurled into the lake of fire. That is strong stuff.
Yes, it is.
That lake of fire is permanent.
That's right.
Jesus explains, Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Verse 32, all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he will cause the sheep to stand at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those at the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, then he will say to those at his left hand, be gone from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. How did they get on his left hand? What did they do? He explains, verse 42, for I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome and entertain me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me with help and ministering care. Insofar as you failed to do it for the least of these, you failed to do it for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but those who are just and upright and right standing with God into eternal life. Now, I'm not a theologian, but if I consider myself a Christian reading this and I haven't done any of those things, I need to pray and ask God what to do. All right? I just common sense. Some may have physical limits and you can't do things. You may need to financially support some of these activities or get creative with how to do it. But God sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, to earth for the fixed purpose of suffering and dying for our sins. He arose from the dead on the third day with all authority in heaven and on earth, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father waiting to return. When he comes back the next time, it will not be as a baby in a manger anymore. Not a broken man on a cross. He's alive. He's going to be king, judge. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I encourage you, first of all, to what?
Fear not.
Forget everything else I said. Leave here with those two words. Fear not. If you heard something today that you fall short in, you can't stop being fearful. You've tried not being fearful, but it's overwhelming. I can't do it. Not on my own. That's why we have the altar. God will meet you where you are. He will help you overcome anything that you're struggling with, fear included. If you're anxious, man, anxiety's out the roof. There's more pills for anxiety nowadays than anything. But God says, don't be anxious. And so if you're struggling with that, you know, I know when I was dealing with anger, it says, don't be angry. And I said, what? I can't do that. How do I do that, God? And it took time after time coming up. And finally, I don't know what happened, but I just got delivered. And so I encourage you, if you've been struggling with anxiety, if you've been struggling with fear, hopelessness, whatever the concern. If you have other concerns I didn't mention, just come up. Get on this altar. If we can have some prayer people here, Danny and Mike and whoever, Janet. But they will help you. They will guide you through this. And that by an agreement. Okay? They can agree with you. So, come up and get prayer. Just tell one of the prayer warriors what you need and they will agree in prayer. Can you put some music on back there? I'm fired up. God has not given us a spirit of hopelessness. We can overcome this. It's going to get worse before it gets better. All right? It's just how it is. It's the world. It's on a collision course with Armageddon and all that other stuff. But that's not up to us to worry about. That's God's thing.
Yeah.
He just don't want us to be fearful.
That's right.
He wants us. It's almost like you're walking in the woods and it's foggy. And you get this, you're walking this path, you can just see enough to the next tree. But if you keep on this path, you're going to be good to go. If you get off to the sides, it's not good out there. There's all kinds of stuff. But wait, there's something shiny over there. Oh my gosh. Shiny things doom us. But we get off the path and we go check out the shiny thing, all right? That's just what happens. It's not just teenage stuff. Although it is created by me. But anyway, so you get your eyes off stuff that's just shiny and no good for you. Keep on the path. So, without further ado, hit it, Dan. You guys, you know what to do. If you want prayer from somebody, just come up. Or if you want to just be up here by yourself, that's good.